Even when you've experienced the pain of sexual abuse, healing is possible. Here's Paulina Torres.
Having that past has helped me today to be able to identify with a lot of girls. I could see their pain, I could understand. So today I see it as a blessing. Even though it was very painful, today I see the fruit and what the enemy wanted to do and to make me suffer and to destroy me, God has used it for His glory.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgemuth, author of Lies Women Believe, for January 25th, 2019.
I should say that some of today's content might not be appropriate for young children to hear, so be sure and use your wisdom if you have little ones around today. Now, if you missed yesterday's program, I want to encourage you to go to reviveourhearts.com and listen to it first. Or if you're listening to the podcast right now, just click on the previous episode of Revive Our Hearts. Yesterday, we heard an amazing story of the healing grace of God in the life of Paulina Torres after years of sexual abuse. We'll hear the rest of the story in a moment. But first, I want you to hear a portion of one of the dramas from True Woman 18 last fall. Here are Jim and Carol Shores with their modernized rendition of the story of The Woman at the Well.
Well, what happened was I went to the well, same as always, high noon. And the heat was so bad today, it's just rolling off the road in waves. So I get me as far as Halifax Hardware, and I just have to stop to rest. And so I'm standing underneath the awning, and my dress just sticking to me in the heat. So I'm plucking at the material, I'm squinting down the road, make sure all the other women was gone from the well.
How come you do that? You got just as much right to that well as they do.
You don't know what they do. They talk about me as I come. I can see them eyeing me as I come down the road, leaning over to each other, make their remarks. And soon as I reach the well, oh, suddenly it's time to go. And they pick up their jugs and their pitchers, and they make their way around me, calling across to each other in their sweet voices about the upcoming social or whatever, just as if I wasn't there at all. I prefer to wait until after they've gone to go to the well.
Now, how come you hadn't told me about that?
Because I was afraid you'd just go down there and make matters worse. Anyway, I'm standing underneath the awning of Halifax Hardware, and my mouth is just as dry as a bone. I'm just wishing I had enough money to leave this town, or at least just enough to, you know, pay somebody to go to the well for me while this drought lasts and the pipes are dry. So I'm leaning over and I'm wiping the sweat off my face with the hem of my dress when I hear the screen door slam. And I look up, and there's Mr. Halifax standing there, just twirling that lip, that toothpick he always has, just twirling that over his lip. He's looking me up and down. He says, "Mighty hot today, ain't it, Millie?" I said, "Yes, sir, it is. It's mighty hot." And he looks down at my jug, and he says, "Well, you going to the well awful late, ain't you?" And I don't say nothing, and I don't say nothing, and the silence gets so big I can't hardly breathe. And finally, I just said to him, "Well, you know, it's my cooler under this awning here. It's a nice place to rest for a spell." And he looks at me and he says, "Well, a lot of nice people in this town think the same thing. And that's why I'm going to have to ask you to move on. Sorry, Millie, you're bad for business."
Hey, what?
No, wait. You're going to let me get through the whole story, remember? You promised. So I pick up my jug. I start moving down the road. I can feel him standing there watching me. And then I hear the screen door slam and the sound of another man's voice and the murmur of the two of them talking. And then I hear my name. And a big burst of laughter whips me like a belt from behind. But I just keep my eyes on the road. I just keep on walking. I lick my lips, there's nothing even to swallow. My mouth is so dry, but I just keep my eyes on the road till I'm almost to the well. And I look up and I see the stranger sitting at the well. He's a plain looking man in his early 30s, I reckon. He's got on this cheap suit, but it's nicely pressed. He's got his jacket over one arm and his shirt's all wet from the heat, but you could tell he put it on fresh this morning. I mean, he was a gentleman. You could tell that clear off. He was poor, but educated. And when I reach the well, he gives me this friendly smile, and he takes off his hat to me, and he says, "Ma'am, would you give me a drink?" I said, "You are asking me for a drink?" And he looks me square in the eye, and he says, "Ma'am, if you knew the gifts that God can give, and if you knew who was asking you, would you give me a drink? I think you'd be asking him, and he'd be giving you living water."
What?
Well, that's what I said. I said, "Where are you going to get this living water? You didn't bring anything to draw water with. This well here is the deepest one around. So where are you going to get this living water?" Well, he points over at this well and he says, "You know, folk who drink the water from this well here, they're going to be thirsty again real soon. But everyone who drinks of the water I give, they'll never be thirsty again. Because the water I give becomes a natural spring inside of a person, just welling up to eternal life." Well, about that point, I'm just about ready to drop from thirst. And I just said, "Sir, please just give me some of this water so I won't be thirsty again. And I won't have to come to this well no more." Well, he said the strangest thing to me. He said, "Go get your husband and then come back." Well, that one stopped me. I mean, I thought about lying to him. I mean, here he's treating me so kindly and respectful like. Why tell him the truth and have him start treating me like everybody else?
What did you say to him, Millie?
Well, I don't know how to explain it, Lee, but I couldn't fib to this fella. So I told him the truth.
What did you tell him?
Well, I just remember looking down at my feet with my toes squishing in the dirt, and I said real careful like, "I don't have a husband." Well, that is the truth. Well, whatever I expected him to say was not what came out of his mouth. Because he said to me, "You're telling me right you don't have a husband, because you've had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband."
Well, I'll be.
Well, you could have just knocked me over. I mean, how could he know a thing like that? I figured he must be downright holy. No, I even said to him, "Sir, you must be some kind of a prophet to know something like that." Well, just knowing that I'm standing there in the presence of a genuine holy man who clearly knows I've had too many men in my life, it just made me very uncomfortable. I just want to get off that subject. So I just started babbling. I started telling him about my great-grandfather. I said, "You know, my great-grandfather, he was a circuit rider. He used to just ride from town to town, just telling everybody how important it is to worship God in a church. But nowadays, they've been having these tent revivals. They say it's just fine to worship God in a tent. So what do you think?" Well, he gave me the kindliest look, considering I just made a fool out of myself trying to talk like we had something in common. And he said to me, he said, "You know, the time is coming when it's not going to be a matter of worshiping God in this church or in this tent. The time is coming. In fact, it's already here when true worshipers, they're going to be worshiping the Father in spirit and truth." And he said, "In fact, those are the kind of folk the Father's looking for right now, because God is spirit, and those who worship him in spirit and truth."
What's that supposed to mean?
I wasn't sure myself, but it was something holy, and I liked it. And oh, I like this man. No, not like that. This is a holy man. I wasn't sure what he was talking about, but I just wanted to keep the conversation going. So I thought back to some of them church lessons I had as a kid, and I said to him, I said, "Well, you know, I know one day the Messiah's coming." Well, he seemed to perk up a little at that. And he looked at me as if he wanted me to say something more, as if he wasn't sure what I meant exactly. And so I said, "Well, you know, the Christ. And when he comes, he's going to be making all these things you're saying. He'll make them plain to us country folk." Well, he held my gaze for a moment, and he said to me, "I am the Christ who's speaking to you now." No, I know what you're going to say. I know what you're thinking. He's just another nut, right? But no, he told me everything I've ever done. And he gave me just a touch of his holiness, because just standing there talking to him, I just wanted to be better than I was, so bad. Here he knows who I am in this town, and still he treats me with such dignity, with such respect, that for the first time in I don't know how long, I actually felt like I was worth something.
What are you talking about? I mean, I am always telling you, you got the prettiest figure of any woman in this whole town.
No, not like that. I mean, in here. I felt like I was worth something in here. And it felt so good. Well, then all his friends showed up with their sacks of food from HB's. And they looked at me, and they looked at him, and I know what they wanted to say. They wanted to say, what are you doing here? What are you doing here talking to him? But they didn't, because he was treating me with such respect. But gosh, I knew it was time to go, so I was picking up my jug to go, but then I turned to him and I just said, thank you for all your kind words, and good day to you now. And do you know what he said to me?
No, what?
He said, good day to you, Miss Millicent. Miss Millicent!
What's that?
That is my true name, is what it is. That's the name I was born with, and nobody's ever called me it since. Well, I just gave him the biggest grin, and I just took off down that road. I'm telling everybody I saw, I didn't care who it was. They said, come. See this man who's told me everything I've ever done. Couldn't he be the Messiah? And I'm telling you, the turn around the roads, the coming out of the stores. Maybe it was the look on my face. I caught a glimpse of myself in a store window. It took me a minute to even recognize myself. Hey, Lee. Lee, look out the window. Look at all these people. All these folk, they're going down the road. They are going to the well. They're going to see for themselves who this man is.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll go too.
Yeah?
Yeah. Maybe I'll go see this kindly, respectful fella. Yeah, maybe he'll tell me all I ever did. Or maybe he'll tell me what you're doing while I'm out there talking to him. What you got behind your back,
no,
Millie?
It's nothing.
Guess you didn't have no trouble lying to me.
I was packing.
Again? Here we didn't even have a fight.
No, I'm not looking to start one neither.
Don't worry. I ain't gonna touch you. I ain't even gonna get mad. No siree. I can do this kindly, respectful doodad stuff you so all fired up about. Yes, sir. So why don't you keep on packing? Why don't you keep on packing while you're still all excited? Because you want to know what? After you've been out there a couple of days, no money, and his friend's just real happy to have you tagging along, he'll get tired of you, sweetheart. Because I'm the only one who can put up with you. I'm the only one who has ever loved you. And that's why you'll come back. That's why you always come back. I'll see you in a while, Millie.
That's Jim and Carol Shores from the group Acts of Renewal, imagining what it could have been like in the home of the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. Jim and Carol performed that drama at last year's True Woman Conference, and it really struck a chord for women who've suffered from verbal, emotional, physical, or even sexual abuse. You can watch the whole drama at our website, reviveourhearts.com. Look for the link in the transcript of today's program. Now, I promised we'd hear more from Paulina Torres. Yesterday, we learned that her stepfather sexually abused her for 8 years. Her mother was aware that this was going on, but did little to stop him. This family had the outer shell of religion, but there was no substance to their faith. When she became a teen, Paulina followed in her mother's ways of turning to relationships with men in order to find security and fulfillment. Yesterday, she shared that beautiful moment when she came to the end of herself and cried out to Christ for grace and help. Now, it would be naive to think that life was easy for Paulina from that point on. it wasn't. She had just surrendered her life to Christ. In her case, that meant breaking off her relationship with a man. She had no idea what that might mean for her future.
Up to this point, I wasn't sure about what was going on with guys. I was hoping there would be a real man out there that loved Jesus. That was a hope I had. And with the people, the guys I met, they didn't have a strong walk with the Lord. And there was this time when I would say to God, I want a strong man that would love you with all his heart. And then it dawned on me, well, a person that loves the Lord is not going to date a person like me. I need to be a woman that loves the Lord in order to have a man that loves the Lord. So I started focusing on my life and what needed to be changed in my life. But I left that to God. I wanted him. If he wanted me to get married, I didn't want to choose the guy. So I said, Lord, you choose whoever you want me to marry, if you want me to be married. So for the next months, when he was teaching me and walking with me, I had so many temptations. It was probably the best 6 years of my life and the worst 6 years of my life. It was very hard because I had all these lies in my head, all these things happening in my body, and I was being born again. so it was hard because I had many temptations. I had guys call, I had guys offered, and there were so many times I wanted to say, hey, you know what, I'll meet you at your apartment. And then on my way, I would say, you know what, I can't do it anymore. I can't, sorry, I'm not gonna meet you there. So for me, I was hoping there were real men out there, but I just wanted him to choose. I wanted God to choose who he would want me to marry.
And God answered that request. He provided a husband for Paulina.
Yes, he did. So I didn't want to date anybody anymore. I was just scared I would mess up again. So there was this guy that visited the church, and he was from Mexico. And a friend of ours told me, hey, I want to introduce you to a Mexican friend that is here visiting. And he introduced me to him. He lived in Mexico, and I was living in San Diego at the time. And we met for 2 hours, and we started talking. And 10 weeks later, God confirmed. He gave me a ring. I said, yes, I had God's peace. I was like Gideon, asking for so many confirmations. God, you got to tell me. I'm new at this. You have to tell me. How do I know it's him? And there were many things that God let me know that this was a man he wanted me to marry. And the same thing God did with him. And 11 months later, we got married and I moved back to Mexico. And now he is a pastor. He pastors a church in Querétaro, Mexico. And we've been married for 8 years.
Paulina knows that God's healing is a process. That work begins at our conversion, but even years later, he continues his work in us.
Even as married now, God is still healing many things. I searched for love and fulfillment in men, and sometimes I see myself doing that with my husband. I still expect him to make me happy. And that's when I remember, no, he's not designed to make me happy. Only Christ could make me happy. So that's when I remember, or he would tell me, babe, have you had your alone time with God? Because you're a little needy right now. So he reminds me sometimes of I could only be fulfilled and satisfied in Jesus. So there are so many things in my mind and lies that I still have to fight with the truth. But I'm in the process of being still transformed by his grace.
Paulina first heard about Revive Our Hearts through two of the women who serve with our Spanish language version of the program, Aviva Nuestros Corazones, Patricia de Saladin and Laura Gonzalez.
I met Patricia and Laura at a counseling conference, and they told me about Revive Our Hearts. So I started listening to Revive Our Hearts, and I love the program. It's such great resources, and I was already a pastor's wife, so I needed all the resources I could get, and it was great help for me.
It may sound funny to you, but Paulina says that Revive Our Hearts has transformed her household chores.
I love washing dishes now. It's my time of revive our hearts and just listen to the word, because I know my mind is dangerous. And if I leave it there, it could get worse. So I tend to have either worship or a Revive Our Hearts podcast so I could be listening to the word. Sometimes I'm mopping and I have to stop because I'm crying so much because I have listened to a very amazing testimony. I love Rosaria Butterfield. She has been a great impact in my life. I love it that there's so many teachers, very wise teachers that have taught me so much and all topics. I love the topic of love to eat, hate to eat. That was really good resource for me because it's something I dealt with.
But beyond her own personal encouragement, she's then able to pass on to others what she has learned.
Revive Our Hearts also helps me to give resources for other girls. As a pastor's wife, I get a lot of girls that come to me with a lot of questions. And one of the homeworks I leave them is listen to one podcast a day, at least, after you read your Bible. So it has been a revival in our church, Revive Our Hearts, Aviva Nuestros Corazones. They love it, and I see how the truth is transforming lives.
We asked Paulina if it's been difficult to tell others about her background of abuse and her own personal struggles with sin. She sees it as something that fills a void.
It seems like talking about it is something that it impacts a lot of women because they come and say, you have been very brave to talk about your story. I need that strength. And they open their hearts to me and said, I have gone through a lot of what you've gone through, but I am scared to open my heart. And I pray for them and I said, God will give you the strength and the grace to do it on its time.
And in retrospect, she can see how the confusion and hurt that she experienced years ago have actually made her more effective at ministering to others.
Having that past has helped me today as a pastor's wife to be able to identify with a lot of girls. I could see their pain. I could understand if girls come with depression or fear, or they have been sexually abused or with eating disorders. It has helped me. So today I see it as a blessing. Even though it was very painful, today I see the fruit and what the enemy wanted to do and to make me suffer and to destroy me. God has used it for his glory.
I've been so encouraged by Paulina's story yesterday and today, and by the reminder that God has the power to heal us from the deepest hurts and to use our stories to encourage others to find that healing as well. I'm so grateful that Revive Our Hearts and the Spanish language version of Aviva Nuestros Corazones have been available for Paulina. And I love to see the way that she is now partnering with our ministry and using our resources to encourage other women. We've been able to be there for Paulina and for so many other women like her, thanks to listeners like you who pray for this ministry and who support it financially. When you give a gift of any size today, we want to send you a brand new Bible study as our way of saying thank you. This study is called Elizabeth, Dealing with Disappointment. It'll help you walk through Elizabeth's story in the Gospel of Luke and to apply lessons from her life to your own situation. When you make a donation online, be sure and let us know that you'd like a copy of the Elizabeth study. That web address is reviveourhearts.com. Or ask for it when you donate by phone. You can call us at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that number is 1-800-569-5959. Well, there's been a sweeping revolution in recent generations of how women view themselves and their roles, how they view men, and how they view family. And how did these widely held views align with God's original plan for women? Kelly Needham will be with us on Monday to talk about womanhood and the gospel. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth wants to help you walk in freedom in Christ. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.